Welcome to Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world with hosts Brainy Petrin and Dave Carson of Management Mentors. Whether you need mentoring training, consulting, or a better way to manage your existing mentoring program, Management Mentors is here to help. Now, here are Brainy and Dave.
Well, good morning. I'm Brainy Petrin, president and founder of Management Mentors. Joining me is my colleague David Carson from the UK. We're happy you're with us for our show today, Mentoring Matters, Mentoring in Today's Business World. As I mentioned last week, October is National Diversity Awareness Month, and today we're continuing our conversation about mentoring and diversity, and we'll focus on diversified matches and the dynamics involved. Welcome back, Dave, for your vacation.
Well, thank you very much, Rennie.
I hope you had a good one.
It was excellent, thanks, yes.
Very good. Last week, as I mentioned, we spoke about diversity and mentoring. And I'm sure the audience would like to get a sense of you about diversity and mentoring in the UK and Europe, because I'm sure it's a different kind of perspective there. So it would be helpful, I think, for the audience to get a sense of what it's like from your perspective.
Well, I certainly will do that, Rennie. And it's a good morning to the United States from Dave here in the UK. It's good afternoon to all the listeners in the UK.
That's correct.
Well, you know, Rennie, I was just thinking about this whole issue around diversity. And I remember joining you for a training program in the city of New York when we trained Sony Music on their mentoring program. And the program manager at that time was also their diversity manager. And, you know, in 1999, it would have been very hard to find that job title in the UK.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. But, of course, over the past few years, things have really, really changed here in the UK. In fact, I was just reading a report recently by the BBC, and it says that immigrants now comprise a quarter of London's population. And, in fact, in one area of London, that equates to just over half the population. And John will know this area of London, that's in Wembley. And they reckon in Wembley, 52% of the population are immigrants. And in one county in the southeast of England, there are over 100 languages spoken. So you can imagine the knock-on effect, not just in the communities, but also into the organizational life and the demographics within companies. Now, I think at this stage I'd like to introduce our guest here in the UK, John Awasoga, and John can give us some comment on this from his perspective. John's well placed to do this, and John is a project manager with the City of London Police. He's also vice chair of the Black Police Association in the City of London, and was one of the program managers for the diversity mentoring program that Management Mentors created. We did have another program manager, that was Inspector Kate Lichtensteiger, but Kate's on vacation at the moment. So welcome to the program, John.
Welcome, John.
Thank you very much, David. Thanks for bringing me on. It's very nice to be here.
And, John, you know, I was just wondering what your take is on this whole situation regarding diversity in the UK, you know, public-private sector over the past few years.
Well, within the UK, there's been a lot of work that's gone on regarding diversity. It was a hot topic. It was topic of the month for quite a while. And there is a difference in terms of delivery of diversity in the public sector and the private sector. The public sector have taken it on quite a way in terms of the sort of advice and guidance from the government and in what they're expected to do. And there are a lot of programs that have been developed within the public sector. So for in the police, for instance, it is expected that every single member of staff undertakes a diversity course. And you're expected to update that course as well every sort of 2 or 3 years. So we see it as like core business. Now, within the private sector, it's not so much as a mandatory undertaking. Some businesses do a lot of work with it, and other businesses don't pay much attention to it.
It sounds like you don't have, in the UK, I'm assuming there isn't kind of the legislative impetus to do this. I mean, in the States, we obviously have laws that have been passed that have promoted diversity and so forth, but you don't seem to have that in the UK. Would that be correct?
I mean, there are laws that are, you know, in terms of legislation and what you should do, but in terms of enforcement, it's very difficult to police it and enforce it.
Oh, I see.
We have the situation here, Rennie, run by the Equal Opportunities Commission, and we have a big drive on equal opportunities. And you know, early days when people were trying to introduce the whole issue of diversity, from where I was, there seemed to be a kind of mix-up between equal opportunity and diversity. And I'm not sure if we're actually through that barrier yet. I don't know what your take on that is, John.
I think in the public sector, there is now a greater understanding between the differences of the two things. I mean, we're now focusing a lot more on diversity, and the understanding of diversity within the business has improved and increased quite a bit. There are still a lot of issues regarding diversity when you mention it. Some people shy away from the term because it's almost like a black mark to mention it. But other people do embrace it. But we don't dwell on equal opportunities as much anymore.
Right.
Okay. I'd like to bring in David Boggs from FedEx Kinko's, who's also a guest on our show this evening, today, I should say, because David is a diversity officer at FedEx Kinko's. They're headquartered in Dallas, and probably most of us know FedEx as a worldwide organization. David has been working on diversity for a long time, and I want to bring his perspective in at this point. Good morning, David, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rainey. Good morning, guests.
Great to have you with us.
Good to be here.
David, from your perspective as a diversity officer, and, you know, you have a broad career, so what you may share may not necessarily be specific to FedEx, but what's your perspective, how you've seen changes, perhaps, in diversity compared to what the UK has been going? Have you seen something similar to that in this country?
Absolutely. One of the things that I've noticed in recent years is companies are getting away from just the compliance part of diversity. That's what we look at when we start talking about EEO and and dealing with OFCCP, these different organizations that monitor affirmative action and all of that. And they're starting to focus on the benefits that come from diversity. And that's the direction that we're actually headed in, trying to get everybody to understand the benefits that are derived from diversity. Actually, a quick story, did a speech the other night at a dinner, and we were talking about diversity and working together and different things that you get when you have true diversity. And I define diversity different.
Really?
When I shared with the audience, I said that diversity is not about race or gender or ethnicity or about sexual orientation and all these other things, and even those things you can't see. What diversity is about is progress. If we're truly going to be progressive and get into those markets and get that type of talent and get people fully motivated, we've got to understand what diversity is about. We've got to understand how we can include everybody and get all of the employees fully engaged. And you can only do that when you're really focused on the things that make them who they are.
That's an interesting way of defining it. You know, diversity is progressive or as progress. One thing, though, and again to both the guests or Dave, does that run the risk, though, of on some level saying, yeah, everybody is different, but we miss the point that there are some groups that have been disadvantaged historically, and therefore there's a need to focus on those or that specific issue?
Can I come in there on that?
Oh,
one?
Sure.
I think that's a good point. What we've tried to do in the UK, and particularly in the police, is we try to focus on positive action where we can actually lift up those groups that have been disadvantaged to try and get them up to a level where they're on the same playing field as the rest of the groups, and therefore the argument about saying treat every individual as an individual becomes more effective. If you get onto the same playing field, then you have access to all the benefits and all the opportunities. But getting onto the same playing field as it has been a problem in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like, in some respects, we need both of those definitions. David's definition, which is progress, which I think makes a great deal of sense, because it really is ultimately wanting to appreciate everybody's differences. And at the same time, there's a need to also address those issues that are perhaps unique to specific groups because of history or whatever the issue may be. And in that light, how does mentoring come in from your perspective?
Well, I'll chime in on that, Rainey. Mentoring comes in because it gives, when you're talking about diverse perspective, it gives those individuals that we were just talking about that have been somewhat disadvantaged an opportunity to have access to a different level of management, maybe a different level of thinking, to be exposed to some different projects that they may have not had an opportunity to be exposed to in the past. It also gives them an opportunity to talk with someone that can tell them about, and you and I talked about this before, Rainey,
yep,
tell them about some of those unspoken rules of how to develop yourself in corporate America or to move up within an organization. And you don't get that if you don't have access to those leaders.
Yeah, that's really a good point. John, you were talking about access, the level playing field.
Yes, I was, and I think just to answer what David said, it's what we call it here is learning to navigate the culture.
Right.
And as David said, if you get access to these managers that have been through that culture and that have reached these higher levels and can that work on these strategic projects and applications that you haven't been to, if you can get access to these type of people, you understand the culture, and then you learn to behave and work in a way that gives you the opportunity to get that access and then to promote and develop yourself.
And that speaks to the point, one of the thoughts that comes up as both of you are speaking is that does speak to the issue of what is mentoring, because sometimes people think mentoring is cloning as opposed to what we believe is simply a relationship that you have. And it could be very easy for somebody to say, particularly if you happen to be a majority mentor, assuming that your role really is to make the person more like you as opposed to making the person individual. And you know, on that thought, we need to pause for a second because we need to go to commercial. And so at this point, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss diversity and mentoring with my guests.